We're in the book of 2 Timothy this morning. Last week, we finished up a six-week series on living by faith, women who trust in God. Next week, we're going to start a six-week series, living a godly life in an ungodly world. And we're actually going to study the life of King Asa. He was a king in Judah who tried to do right. He didn't always do right, but he tried to do right. And so we'll be in the book of 2 Chronicles, start next week for the next 6 weeks, looking at his life and what it teaches us about how we can live in the world that we live in today. But today, we have a one-lesson series. So just one lesson, mentoring, how to equip and encourage others. Now, in the business world, mentoring is a buzzword. I mean, people that employ others like the idea of mentoring. And in simplest form, is mentoring is getting somebody that has usually a lot of experience to teach and train a new person that's coming into the organization. And so the new person sort of shadows the old person, sort of watches what they do, learns from that person as they go along. The same thing applies in a church. In fact, the Bible doesn't use the word mentoring. It uses the word discipleship. And it means the same thing. It means that one believer intentionally, not by accident, but on purpose, one believer invests time in another believer to help that other believer become more like Christ. That's discipleship. That's what Jesus did to his disciples. That's what the Apostle Paul did to those that worked with him. And we're going to talk about one of them this morning. We're going to talk about a young man named Timothy that Paul discipled or mentored, whatever word that you want to use. And both Jesus and Paul did it the same way. They look for potential, and sometimes in the business world they use the term master and apprentice. Okay, so a master is somebody with the experience, and apprentice is somebody that's learning. But both Paul and Jesus looked for potential apprentices. They looked for people that they could train, that they could encourage, that they could help become more like Jesus. Of course, Jesus could see into his disciples' hearts, and he knew what kind of men they were. Paul had to depend on the Holy Spirit to help him do that as he looked around at different people that came across his path. And then they both Jesus and Paul, formed a relationship with that person, okay? A personal relationship. And then they began to train him, and then they corrected them. I mean, if there were things that were in their life that needed corrected, if they had interpreted the training in the wrong way, they would correct them. And then at some point, they would release them and say, okay, now go out and do the same thing that I've done. Go out and teach somebody else like I've taught you. And that's what the Great Commission tells us to do. Go ye into all the world. In Matthew 28, it says, go and teach. Baptize and teach others as I have taught you. That's what Jesus commissioned his disciples to do. Every single person, again, I believe that every single person here has had a mentor in your spiritual life. You've had somebody in your life that has encouraged you, that has helped train you, that has helped you become more and more like Christ. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a grandparent, an aunt, or an uncle. Maybe many people. You could put that title or that descriptor of. Yes, my mom and dad mentored me. My grandparents mentored me. I've had Sunday school teachers that mentored me. And again, if we went around the room, if you thought about it for a minute, every single person here could probably say there's been at least one person, if not more, in my life that has helped me grow as a Christian, that has helped me become more like Christ. And that's the point of the lesson this morning. Someone helped you grow in Christ. Now again, it may have been the same person that helped lead you to the Lord, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that same person. Somebody else could have helped you understand the gospel and get saved, and then somebody else, or many somebody else's, helped you grow. But somebody helped you grow in Christ. We need to go out and do the same to somebody else. Somebody else. Everybody profits from having somebody that mentors them or disciples them or that invests time in them to help them grow in Christ. And so, again, the point of the lesson is that we need to do that. Now, we're going to look at the relationship that Paul and Timothy had. Paul was Timothy's discipler. He was his mentor. We're in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, and the book of Titus are called pastoral epistles. They were written by Paul to these two young men, Timothy and Titus, who he had brought into his ministry and trained. Titus was on the island of Crete. Timothy at this point was in Ephesus. They were both pastors. They had both been trained by Paul, and Paul had left them in the churches on Crete and in the church at Ephesus that he had helped start to be the pastors and to take care of things in those churches. Again, in this day, there was a lot of false teaching and a lot of false teachers. And one of the things that both Timothy and Titus had to deal with was preaching the truth, was counteracting what these false teachers taught. Timothy was one of Paul's probably most valuable co-workers. He referred to him as his son in the faith. Some people believe that Paul had a part in leading Timothy to Christ. Others think that his mother and grandmother led him to Christ, and that Paul encountered him, saw the potential of the young man, and invited Timothy to travel with him. But in any case, Paul wrote this letter we know as 2 Timothy to Timothy to give him some final instructions. Paul was in prison in Rome. He was going to be executed by the Roman Emperor Nero. 2 Timothy was probably the last epistle or letter that he wrote. And he's about to die. He's about to turn over the reins of his ministry to Timothy and others that he's trained. And so as we read the letter, the epistle of 2 Timothy, as we know it, we ought to read it with that sense of urgency. Here was somebody that had stood faithful for the gospel. I mean, he had been faithful ever since he was saved on the road to Damascus. He had been faithful to Christ. He had endured much persecution and tribulation. He was about to die. He was about to go to his reward, and he wanted to make sure that the young men that he was leaving behind would carry on his ministry. And so he wrote this letter to Timothy and encouraged him, as we're going to see, to do the same thing that Paul had done to him. So three parts to the lesson this morning. Mentoring requires an intentional relationship, okay? An on-purpose relationship. Mentoring involves walking together in life's ups and downs. And then mentoring encourages us to stay grounded in God's Word, okay? So we start this morning. Mentoring requires an intentional relationship. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It's in your book if you have it. If not, look in your Bible. Here's what Paul writes. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul reminds Timothy of his spiritual heritage. That's where we read about Lois and Eunice. Lois was his grandmother, Eunice was his mother. He reminds Timothy of the talents and abilities that God has given him. He reminds Timothy of the instruction that Paul has given him. He reminds Timothy that the Holy Spirit dwells within him. And he points to an example, a man by the name of Onesiphorus, who was a faithful servant of Christ. Paul does all that in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. He also gives Timothy several challenges in chapter 1. He says, stir up the gift of the God, the gift of God that's in you. Keep it active in your life. Keep it stirred up in your life. Don't let it go stagnant. Don't let it go dormant. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed to testify for Christ. He says, you're going to be a partaker of the afflictions. They're going to come. But hold fast. Hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to the Scripture and keep or protect the good things that are committed unto you. And again, he pointed to this man as a faithful servant. And then he starts out in chapter 2, therefore, in light of all these things that I've reminded you of, all these things that I've charged you with, he says, Timothy, be strong. Strengthen yourself. Make yourself strong. And the use of the word thou. Where he says, thou therefore, my son, that word thou means, Timothy, these instructions are specifically for you. Now again, Paul was writing to Timothy. He had Timothy in mind. But the instructions that he gives to Timothy are good instructions for all Christians. They're good instructions for all of us. But Paul wanted Timothy to know, hey, I'm writing to you, what I'm going to tell you is for you. The use of the word my son, again, is a reminder from Paul to Timothy of the special relationship that they had in Christ, the spiritual relationship that they had to one another. And so Paul says, be strong, okay? And he says, that strength comes, when it says there, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That word in means in the sphere of, so in the grace of Christ, or by the means of, by the grace of Christ, be strong. Be strong. Be strong through the grace that God gives to you. Claim the strength that God offers to every Christian by His grace. Again, grace is unmerited favor. Grace is the loving kindness, the graciousness, the favor of God. Grace is something that we don't deserve, okay? Grace is getting something that we don't deserve, okay? Mercy is not getting what we do deserve, but grace is getting something that we don't deserve. And Paul says, look, in the grace that God has given you, in the grace that God has favored you with, there is strength. Now, by the way, everything that God gives us is a manifestation of His grace, because we don't deserve anything from God. I mean, the only thing we deserve from God is, because we're sinners, is to go to hell. But God loved us, and He gave us His grace, His unmerited favor. And Paul says, Timothy, as part of that grace, there is strength. And so claim it. Claim it. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And again, that strength is available to us. There is strength available in the grace that God extends to each of us. So he says in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me. And so, in that strength, take the things that you have heard from me and commit, entrust those, give those things to other faithful men. Now again, the word men is generic, so it's not talking about just males. It's talking about all people, men and women. So Timothy, in the strength that you have, that God's given you in Christ Jesus, take the things that you have heard from me, okay, and entrust them to other individuals who are able, in other words, qualified, to teach others also. And so Timothy, here's what Paul is telling Timothy. You have the strength that Jesus gives you. With that strength, take what you've heard me teach, okay, and give it to other people that can also teach so that it could be carried on. They're to do the same thing. They're to take what they've heard from you and teach somebody else so they can pass it on, so they can pass it on, so they can pass it on. This has been God's plan from the very beginning as to how the gospel is to be spread. Christ came to reveal it to us. I mean, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was pictured in the Old Testament. Christ came to carry that prophecy out and to fulfill the plan of God's redemption. And then Jesus told his disciples, I want you to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to teach them. I want you to baptize them, and I want you to train them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I want you to go out and do the same thing that I have done for you. The phrase that he uses there, among many witnesses, Paul was saying, my ministry has been open, it's been public, it's been consistent. Yours need, he's telling Timothy, yours needs to be the same way. Now, and so Paul says, I want you to commit those or teach the same things that you've learned from me to other people. Implied in teaching is learning, okay? Teaching is more than just a person standing up and spouting off facts. Teaching implies that there's somebody receiving those facts that wants to learn. Okay? The challenge was for Timothy to take what he had learned and find others who wanted to learn it also so that they could teach others. And again, the process implies a relationship between the teacher and the learner. The teacher is not to set themselves at such a high plane that it makes the learner feel less superior than the teacher does. Okay, the teacher is to have that relationship with the learner to want the best for the learner. And the learner, as part of the relationship, is to acknowledge that they need to be taught and have respect for the teacher. Okay? Again, teaching was critical in this age because there was a lot of false teachers. There was a lot of false teaching that was going around, certainly in Ephesus where Timothy was. And so what Paul was telling Timothy to do in his day is what we need to do in our day. The greatest legacy, listen to this, a greatest legacy that a church can leave is for that church to continue to preach and teach, preach the gospel and teach others how to be Christians. And that's why it's the whole church's job. It's not just the pastor's job. It's part of my job, but it's also part of your job. I'm not going to be here forever. And what a shame it would be for this church to change just because I leave. This church needs to keep doing what it's been doing that God has blessed, okay? And again, we're all responsible for that, not just the pastor, not just the assistant pastor, not just the deacons and the trustees, but all of us have a responsibility to make sure we stay true to the calling that God has called us to preach the gospel and to teach others, and we need to keep doing that till Jesus comes. We need to keep doing it. The church today doesn't need new ideas. It doesn't need different methods. It needs to follow the ideas and the methods that are in this book that worked for the church that Jesus established. And by the way, a church, any church that's a church at all, is a church that Jesus established, and we need to follow the methods that he gave his disciples. His message doesn't change. It hasn't changed. Again, the world's tried to change it today and add things to it and take it away, but the message that Christ preached when he walked the face of the earth has not changed. He's entrusted us with that message. We're stewards of it. It's not ours, but we're responsible for it. And our responsibility is to pass it on. Somebody did that to us. Again, every single person in this room, somebody did it to you. They shared the gospel with you, and then they taught you how to be a Christian. They taught you what God expected. We need to do the same to other people. All right, let's move on to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 10 through 13, and then we'll go on and read some more after that. But this is the part of the lesson that covers mentoring, involves walking together in life's ups and downs. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy had had Paul as his example. Okay, not only how the gospel changed his life, changed Paul's life, and we know that. We know he was saved on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to persecute Christians, and he saw that bright light. Jesus talked to him, and he was saved on the road to Damascus. Timothy probably heard that testimony, Paul's testimony, many times. Okay, we read about it in the book of Acts two or three times, but Paul probably shared it everywhere he went. And Timothy, traveling with him, probably heard Paul's salvation testimony many, many times. He'd also heard Paul teach, and he wrote much of that teaching down in the books that the Holy Spirit used him to write in the New Testament. He also heard Paul teach what it was to live a Christian life. But Timothy had something else. He got to see Paul live it. As he traveled with Paul, as he lived with Paul, he experienced the same things that Paul did. I mean, he actually got to see Paul as he lived the Christian life. Now again, Paul wrote many books of the New Testament, which explains how to be saved, which explained how to live the Christian life. But Paul knew that many, many people learn more by seeing than they do by reading. They learn more by observing other people than they do by just hearing something. And so Paul, as Timothy's discipler, as his mentor, knew that he was being watched by Timothy, and Timothy was learning more from how Paul lived his life than he probably did from what Paul taught him. And so Paul said, hey, I'm your example. Follow me. In fact, in another book that Paul wrote, he says, you follow me. He said, I'm trying to follow Christ, but you follow me. Now, some people read that and say, boy, Paul really was on an ego trip. I mean, to point to himself and say, follow me. But it wasn't unusual. Back in Paul's day, rabbis or master teachers, they tried to imprint upon their students or their disciples or their followers their life. I mean, in the detail of it. In fact, many of their pupils, many students in that day, looked at the different rabbis and how they lived their life and chose their rabbis by saying, hey, I want a life like he has. And so they would join themselves to a teacher, to a rabbi, because they'd looked at his life and say, that's the kind of life that I want. And so when Paul says, again, he was a teacher, when Paul says, follow me, he wasn't trying to recreate a bunch of Pauls. What he was trying to do was to lead others to follow Christ so they could become like him. And so he said, follow me as I follow Christ. The objective is not for you to become like me, although if you need an example on this world, in this world to look at me, but I've got my eyes on Jesus. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ. That's where I'm headed. Follow me, and you can end up in the same place. And so Paul said, Paul was Timothy's example. We need to live our life so that others can see Jesus in us. It's one thing to have a good testimony. It's one thing to talk. It's one thing to describe how God wants us to live our life. But the lesson is much more impactful if people can see us live it. If we talk about it and don't live it, they're not going to listen to our talk. Okay? It's when we live like we're teaching, it's when we live like we profess, that our example is going to have an impact. So true, so very much more true for parents. So very much more true for grandparents. Because your kids and your grandparents and your grandkids see you more than anybody else does. They see you in situations that nobody else does. And how you live out your Christianity before them and then before others in the world is going to have an impact on them. They're going to be watching. And they're going to take more from your living example than they are from your words. And so Timothy had observed Paul's life. Paul had shown him certain things. He'd shown him that his life was rooted in his doctrine. He not only taught the truth, he lived the truth. He'd seen his manner of life, the way that he lived his life, and that it was godly. He saw Paul's purpose. Again, Paul's purpose wasn't to uplift himself. It was to uplift Christ. It was to point other people to Jesus. Timothy saw Paul's faith. I mean, he saw works. Faith without works is dead. He saw Paul's faith in the works that Paul did. He saw his long suffering, his patience. He saw his charity, his love. He saw his patience. Now that word patience means endurance. He saw Paul endure. And Paul's life wasn't easy. And Timothy knew it wasn't easy. He'd seen the persecution. He'd seen the affliction, the suffering. And Paul mentioned certain places, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Lystra was Timothy's hometown. So in Timothy's hometown, Paul had been persecuted. Paul had visited all those cities on his first missionary journey. Perhaps Paul, by mentioning these three cities, was trying to tell Timothy, look, I've been faithful since the beginning, since I started on this quest, since God saved me and called me to be a missionary. I have been faithful. And later on in this letter, he's going to say, hey, I finished my course. I've run the race. I'm ready to depart, for I have been faithful unto the end. And Paul said, yeah, I've had persecutions, I've had afflictions, but out of every single one of them, out of all of them, God has delivered or rescued me. And again, Paul was telling Timothy, you're not going to be any different. You've seen the persecution and afflictions that have come upon me. He says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul told Timothy, hey, get ready. Because they're going to come after, they came after Christ. They came after me. They're going to come after you. And the goal of persecution is to compel people to leave what they believe. It's to compel people to leave what they believe and have given their lives to. That word for will, all that will live godly life, it means all that intend or resolve or determine or desire to live a godly life. Those that have a desire to do that, those that have a determination to do that, persecution is going to come after you to drive you away from that desire, to drive you away from that determination, to drive you away from that resolve. That's the purpose of persecution. It may come physically. It may come emotionally. It may come in the form of ridicule. Unless Timothy think, hey, it's going to get better. As Christianity spreads, it's going to get better. But Paul said, no, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. It's going to get worse and worse. He said, evil men and seducers, those that do evil, those that want nothing to do with God, and those that are imposters. They're claiming to teach the gospel. They're claiming to teach the truth, but they're not. They are misleading other people, and they are, in fact, deceived themselves. They've lost the ability to determine what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, what's truth and what a lies. And they will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived themselves. Now, we need to remember this today. Some people think that it's going to get easier and easier to be a Christian. I don't know where they're living today. It's not going to get easier and easier. It's going to get harder and harder. Now, again, I'm not talking about those who just in word only say, well, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. I'm talking about those who will stand for Christ and live the life that God calls us to live. If a person is a nominal Christian, if all they do is bear the name and they don't stand for Christ, they don't try to do anything for Christ, Satan's going to leave you alone. He's got you right where he wants you. He wants Christians like that. He wants other people to say, well, if that's what it means to be a Christian, you know, what's the difference? They're not doing anything anyway. But if a person truly seeks to live for Christ, truly seeks to live by this book, the world's going to come after you. And it's not going to get better and better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. We can see it in different parts of the world. If we're paying attention, we can read about the persecution that's going on around the world. And if you're paying attention to what's going on in this country, they are coming after us. They're coming after us. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before the Lord comes. All right, let's go to the last portion of Scripture, verses 14 through 17 in chapter 3. Here's what Paul says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Paul said, okay, the persecution's coming, but Timothy, you have something you can fall back on. You have something that will you can turn to for instruction, support, and encouragement. And it wasn't something new and different. He says, I want you to continue to hold on to those things that thou hast learned and has been assured of. Those things that you've learned from the time you were an infant, from the time you were a little boy, that you are convinced are true, that you firmly believe in. And you trusted them and you believe them, knowing whom you learned them from. Again, Paul was referring back to his mother, Eunice, and to his grandmother, Lois. They not only taught Timothy, but they lived. They lived it out in front of Timothy. And so Paul was telling Timothy, you fall back on what you were taught by your mother and your grandmother. They not only taught it, but they lived it before you. And so Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures that makes one wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so Timothy, you came to the understanding of what the Scripture says. See, just knowing what the Scripture says is not enough to save a person. Knowing what the Scripture says and acting on it is what saves a person. Knowing the Scripture says that we're a sinner. Knowing the Scripture says that there's a penalty for sin. Knowing the Scripture says that Jesus paid the penalty. Knowing the Scripture says that if we receive what the price that he paid and apply it to our lives, that he will save us. That's what makes one wise unto salvation. And Paul says, you have that. You were taught by your mother and your grandmother. And so he says, all scripture, all of it. Now again, for Timothy, it was just the Old Testament. Probably didn't have the Gospels at this point, none of the New Testament. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It was breathed by God. Holy men of God wrote as the Holy Spirit told them what to write. It was breathed by God, and God breathed power into the scriptures. And again, all Timothy had was the Old Testament. But Paul says, that's what you need to fall back on. You don't need something new. You need what you already know. You need to hang on to that. You need to hang on to what your mama and your grandma told you. It led to your salvation. It will give you what you need now. And again, he goes on and says, Paul says, all scripture is profitable. So it's advantageous for doctrine, for teaching, okay? Teaching what the Lord expects, for reproof, rebuking what the Lord rejects, for correction, for how to overcome those things that the Lord rejects, and for instruction in righteousness, for how God wants us to live our life, what he expects from us as his children. And so Paul says, you have it. You were taught it from a child. Hang on to it. Continue to study it. Continue to memorize it. Continue to use it, because it is profitable for all these things. Then he says, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, proficient, and thereby thoroughly furnished, made ready or prepared unto all good works. That's what God will use the Bible to do, to help us mature, to help us prepare unto everything that God wants us to do. Now again, Paul was writing to Timothy as a pastor. He had a position of leadership. But the fact that he uses the phrase man of God, and again, man does not mean male. It means person of God. The instructions that Paul gives apply to every single one of us, any believer. Not just pastors or assistant pastors or Sunday school teachers or people like that have a calling in their life, but every single Christian needs to depend on God's word to help us grow in him. I mean, it's our bread. Jesus, when he was refuting Satan in the wilderness, man shall not, quoting from the book of Exodus, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have that in the Bible. That's what this book is. That's how we grow as a Christian. This is our sustenance that helps us grow. Now, again, somebody helped you grow. Somebody did. We ought to go out and do the same for somebody else. And then they ought to do that for somebody else. And they ought to do that for somebody else. And they ought to do that for somebody else. I don't know if it was Bill or Don. I remember it's been a while since they've said it. But one of them said, we're only one generation away from losing what we have in Christ. If we don't get the next generation, if we don't get the next generation, and then if they don't get the next generation, it's all going to stop. And so we have a responsibility. We have to get those who come after us and get them saved and trained so that they can get those who come after them. So they can get those who come after them. So they can get those who come after them until Jesus comes. Until he comes. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this message from Paul to Timothy. And I pray we would understand that we could apply it to our lives today. The world's not getting better and better. It's getting worse and worse. And we're going to need the instruction that Paul gave Timothy in our own life. And so I pray that as we've heard it this morning, we'd look for ways to apply it to our life. And we'd look for people in our life that we could disciple. We'd look for people in our life that we could mentor. We'd form a relationship with them. We'd teach them and train them and get them ready to do what you've called them to do. Father, I pray you go with us into the service that follows. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll have freedom to move and convict. I pray your will would be accomplished in the service this morning. Help us to uplift Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.